The Everest has been pretty consistent, hasn't it?
Great race.
It has been. So it's on at 4:15 Saturday. Caulfield Cup, 5:15. It is a massive day for racing, isn't it? You're in the camp that it's good. Good for the sport.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it creates interest from other people that might not particularly be interested. And there's been plenty of chat this week, good and bad. Plenty of healthy debate, which we like. And it's the richest race in Australia, if not the world. So anything that can produce that sort of money is going to get the best horses racing against each other. That's what we like.
A man who is involved, he's got a foot in both camps, let's be honest. Interested in his take, hear his take on this. Chris Lees, welcome here, Chris. Thanks for joining us on SEM Breakfast.
Yeah, good morning, boys.
Morning, Chris. Are you of the opinion that the Everest is good for racing?
Oh, I'm sure it is. whenever you're racing for $14 million, I can't see too many negatives. As you said before, it's attracted so much attention and has done for nearly all year since as soon as horse winter sprint race, you're starting to talk whether it's an Everest horse or not.
So if we take away the $14 million prize money and you just have the best horses racing against each other, is it still as exciting? I mean, there's no group status to it, so it's not like winning a Group 1. It's purely about the prize money, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think the concept of it too, just how slot holders get to choose their horse and the intrigue, who they're going to take, whether that horse will, well, even when they take the horse, whether it remains in form, because most of them have got a get-out clause. So but it's a different concept, and it's certainly captured everyone's attention.
So, Chris, Brownie made a good point earlier. Where will you be on Saturday, and how much should we read into that?
Don't read anything into it, but I'll be in Sydney.
And why is that? What's the reasoning behind that decision?
Oh, look, it was a tough decision, definitely. But I thought it's the right thing to do. But, you know, I couldn't split it, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I've got some good men with the horses in Melbourne that Cameron Swan's been looking after most of the year when he went into quarantine in Newmarket. And, so I thought I'd stay in Sydney.
Chris, you've got In Her Time running in the Everest. You've only had that mare for a little bit over 12 months. Ben Smith had it before getting transferred over to you. How's she travelling? She's such a consistent racehorse.
Very good mare. We elected to go into it first up. A little bit unorthodox, but she's got a terrific fresh record. She's won 5 of 8 first up, of which 2 Group 1 wins were first up, one being the Lightning earlier in the year. So we know she can perform early in a preparation. But the fact she's $26 shows you the depth of the field. I mean, she's a little bit out of sight, out of mind at the moment, because I can't fault how she's going.
This will be the first year that the race will be run on a good track. The last couple of years, there's been a bit of rain around in Sydney. Is that going to play into her hands, you think?
Yeah, it does. Last year, when the rain came before the race, pretty much put us out of play, along with a few other horses. But I think they'll all get their chance tomorrow. And also, we've got a likelihood of a really solid tempo, whereas the last couple of years have been probably run at a little bit pedestrian early, but it looks like it'll be run at true tempo, which gives every horse their chance.
Tell us a bit about Mustajir as well, Chris. Reading that Richard Pegum had bought a 25% share in the horse last week.
Yeah, it was interesting. The original owners from Ireland, they retained a 25% share and they changed their mind. They wanted to get out of the horse, so it was put to auction. And we've got Richard Pegan and a few of his mates, which are great supporters of racing and really good people to have involved. The horse, we went into our care just over a month ago now when he first went into quarantine in Newmarket. So he does his 2 weeks there. Then 2 weeks at Werribee, and he came to us in really good order, very fit, as you'd imagine, that with the European horse, who's had a reasonably long preparation, coming out of winning the Ebor 7 or 8 weeks ago. So it's just a matter of just keeping in good order. We haven't tested him too much on the track. As I said, he's very fit, and just comes down now how he gets around Caulfield.
You got the right man in the saddle. How long ago did you engage Damien Oliver to ride?
Oh, he was pretty much on the front foot when he won the Ebor, because we'd already the connections had already purchased the horse before the Ebor, so it was a good result for all concerned. And Ollie was straight on the front foot, and was very happy to have him locked in for the Caulfield Cup.
Just on In Her Time, Chris. I'm just coming back to the Everest. The odds are extraordinary. I don't know what your opinion of that is. I know you said she was over the odds for some particular reason, but good form. I mean, 8 starts, 5 wins, won the Group 1 Lightning Stakes, of course, at Flemington. What do you put that down to?
Oh, I think just the fact she hasn't raced, just preparation. So she's just continued to drift in the market through support of other horses that are racing in good form. So I assume that's it. But it does show the depth of the race when she's that price in any type of sprint race.
Well, certainly lots of good feedback, Chris, off the Speckle text machine here that it's great for the sport, both of them. Bit of feedback that up in Brisbane, that neutral territory, I suppose, that the Everest is getting all the coverage, not the Caulfield Cup. And down here, turnover at Caulfield has increased since the Everest. Most racing fans watch Sydney and Melbourne races, so it just adds to the day and is great for racing.
Yeah, I think so. And it's great for all the participants. It's given everyone an opportunity to get a good chunk of prize money wherever they are. And jockeys, just probably jockeys that wouldn't always get a ride in some of these bigger races are getting that opportunity as well. So I can't see too many negatives.
I've just been looking through the field for the Caulfield Cup and the Melbourne Cup. Do you have to have a Japanese or European type horse, an international, to genuinely be competitive in these cups these days, Chris?
Well, I think they're getting stronger and stronger. I think if you look back at some cups from 10, 20, probably more, 20 years ago or so, them old Australian handicappers, they're flat out making the race these years. So I do think they're getting more difficult to win and a better class of horses coming out for them. So there'll be the odd Australian handicapper, I suppose, will win every now and then, but I think he's less regular.
Chris, we appreciate your time this morning. Best luck to Mustajir down here at the Caulfield Cup and, of course, in her time up there in Sydney where you'll be for the Everest. All the best with it.
Thanks, Chris. I'll see you at the Magic Millions.
Good on you, Cam. Thanks, boy.
Cheers, mate.
Good on you.